Hi, it's Francis Lam, and welcome to Splendid Table Selects, our mini podcast where we share the interviews that inspired us or made us better cooks. Our presenting sponsor is Bob's Red Mill. They're an employee-owned company that, for decades, has offered organic, gluten-free, stone-ground products, and they're experts at making healthy taste amazing. We'll tell you more about Bob's Red Mill later, but first, let's get to the show. Ah, spring. That lovely time of year where we indulge our desperation to rip anything green from the earth and cook it. Our managing producer, Sally Swift, is no exception to that desire, and she met up with a friend, contributor and cook Melissa Clark, to get some spring cooking inspiration. Have a listen.
Hey, Melissa, great to have you here.
Hi, Sally.
Hey, I want to talk to you about spring eating and cooking, and in your new book, your favorite recipes book, you wrote about something that I was so surprised about. You talked about having a period in your life when you did not eat salads. What was going on with that period?
You know, that was a really dark period. That was, you know, in the height of the fat phobia days,
yeah,
when we were all brainwashed. I'm going to say brainwashed into thinking that fat was bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've come full circle on that, by the way. So no, I'm all,
yeah.
I mean, 180 degrees on that. But I really believed it. So I would, when I was afraid to use too much fat on my salad dressing. So
right.
I would use non-fat yogurt and, some,
yeah,
you know, and just non-fat buttermilk, all those horrible things, low-fat buttermilk. And I would take salad out of the bag, you know, those bags of salad. And you know, now you can, I feel like now you can buy really nice salad in bags, but this was over 10 years, this was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all kind of wilty. And you know, when you used to buy mesclun, you know, when mesclun first hit the scene,
mm-hmm,
all the
mm-hmm
red leaf lettuce got kind of like, it has a shorter shelf life than the green.
And
it would turn black and slimy. And it was just, so after sort of feeling, you know, dutifully munching my way through salads with non-fat dressings, I just said, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm done. And I'm just going to eat vegetables in other ways and ways I can find pleasure with. And this was a really important moment because it was saying no to something that was supposed to be good for me but didn't make me happy and saying yes to a whole other category of vegetables. Luckily, I did come back around to salads, but just very different kinds of salads.
You did come back around to salads, and actually one of the things I want to talk to you today is about green goddess dressing,
which is
exactly the opposite.
Which is how you should eat your salads.
I think so, too. So how do you make your green goddess?
So green goddess is green from all the herbs that you put into it. And it's great because you can use any herbs that you have. I think the traditional recipe has watercress and
mm-hmm
scallions, and tarragon is a big flavor component, you know, very licorice-y. But I just use whatever I have. You know, if I have cilantro sitting around, or parsley or basil is wonderful. And then you want a creamy base. So you have your bright, fresh herbs, and then you have the richness of the creamy base, which can be buttermilk, sour cream, mayonnaise, a combination of all of that. And
mm-hmm
then my favorite part is mashed up anchovies, just to give it that super salty, brawny kind of tang. And so when you have that and you do it in the blender, you can do it in a bowl with a whisk if you want to chop up the herbs. But I just throw everything in the blender and it's done in about 20 seconds for it to chop up,
right,
and it turns bright green, and it's so flavorful. And you can use it on really strong, you know, intense lettuces like arugula, or you can use it on really mild ones too, because it works both ways. It'll, you know, bring out the sweetness of a mild lettuce, but then it'll also stand up to a really, you know, assertive lettuce. So it's just, I find it to be very multi-purpose.
It's very festive, too, and such the thing to do in the spring when you have all these fresh herbs, and chives are still not too onion-y.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really wonderful. The other thing that extending the life of a salad dressing and using it in different areas.
Yes.
Like on potatoes, for instance. Like, it's a potato salad, essentially.
Well, so potato salads are great because you can really, you know, potatoes are just so accepting of all flavors. You know,
mm-hmm,
they're happy with anything. They're kind of, you know, they're earthy, but they're kind of neutral. So I do have a thing about potato salads, though. I feel very strongly that you need to have the potatoes warm before you add the dressing. So I boil them, and the second that I can, you know, touch them, I throw them into a bowl and I just toss them wildly. So you always have to have your dressing finished by the time your potatoes are done boiling. And why that's important is because warm potatoes absorb dressing just more readily than cold potatoes. Just think of anything warm. You know, it's things are open, pores are open. You can accept a lot of flavors. But, you know, think of a cold potato. It's kind of tight. It's sort of right. in and of itself. So it's not going to take in the dressing as readily.
Yep.
And then let it cool. So then you can serve it cold. I know, you know, a cold potato salad is a wonderful thing. You can make it ahead. You can stick it in the fridge. You could take it out 2 days later and it just gets better as it sits.
And you have a recipe for crushed new potatoes with peas. Talk us through that.
Oh, that one is so simple. So you've got your potatoes, you've boiled them, and I love to use yogurt in dressings because it gives creaminess, but it also has tang, you know, and you need a nice, mm-hmm. bright, tangy dressing, especially with potatoes, which need the acidity, right? So you've got your yogurt. Mm-hmm. I use mustard seed with that, which I just love to pop mustard seeds in a pan. Have you ever, you've
like
done that?
Black, like, no, I have in Indian cooking, like black mustard seeds.
You can use black or you can use brown. Really, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Although I wouldn't use the yellow ones. Those are super, super, super strong. But a black or brown, mm-hmm. you put them in a dry pan and they pop like popcorn and they just start popping and they smell so great. And while they're still warm is when you mix them into the yogurt and then you mix them with your potatoes, which are also still warm. And then the peas, I mean, so there is a moment in spring where you can get
it is fleeting.
I know. It's just like it's like that one moment where the peas are, you know, the new peas are out. It's late. It's actually yep. early summer, really. You know, we think it's spring,
let's
but it's
be
actually
realistic.
Early
yeah.
summer, especially this year. And the new potatoes are coming in. And new potatoes they're different from storage potatoes. You know, they have thinner skins, more delicate. The flesh is nuttier. They're really, the second that you see potatoes at the farmer's market, don't think, oh, it's winter. Think, oh, these are the new ones. These are different. I wish people would get as excited about them as they do when the tomatoes first come because they're different and special. And so there's a time when they overlap and then you can buy them both together. And when you cook the potatoes, what's so great about the peas is you just throw them in the same water. You don't even have to cook them separately. You know, you shell your peas, throw them into the same water with your potatoes during the last, you know, 2-3 minutes and then drain everything together. So it makes they add color, they add sweetness, and they're really easy to incorporate. And you can also use frozen peas if that's all you've got, because those are pretty good too.
They are delicious. And what a great spring dish that is, I have to say. You know, the Scandinavians do all those potato dishes for a reason.
Yeah, because they're delicious.
Because they're delicious. That's exactly right. And what do you do around eggs in the spring?
We don't think of eggs as being seasonal, but they used to be seasonal. It used to be that chickens really didn't lay over the winter. They started laying in the spring again. So when you had a lot of eggs, that was like, woohoo, it's springtime. Mm-hmm. The chickens knew, they could tell from, they react to the light, which I just learned about. And in modern farming, we use electric lights, so the chickens keep laying all year long. But in springs, you've got people would celebrate with eggs, and you also would have all the new herbs and greens would be coming up. So I love to do a dish with a ton of greens. So spinach or sorrel is a very sour, tangy springtime herb that you can sometimes find in supermarkets and the farmer's market.
Yeah, and grow. It's super easy to grow.
It's like a weed.
It is a weed, yeah.
I have it in my, actually in a little planner on my deck. But whatever you can get, you can use mustard greens, you could use kale. And you want to mm-hmm. soften whatever green you have in lots of butter with some leeks or some onions mm-hmm. or scallions is great, whatever you've got, some sort of oniony component. And you just stew that until it gets super soft. And then what I do is I think of it almost like a green shakshuka. So which is an Israeli dish where you cook eggs in tomato sauce, but I'm cooking the eggs instead of this beautiful green herb sauce.
Oh, that is smart.
Yeah. So you have the herbs in the pan or the spinach in the pan. It's all soft and buttery. You take your eggs and you crack them right into this soft, hot spinach. And mm-hmm. they set in this buttery mix. And you just cover the pan and they'll, in about 2-3 minutes, the eggs will set. You have it over low heat. And then when you open it up, you have runny egg yolks, and the egg yolks create a sauce all over this spinach. It's like the best cream spinach you've ever had, and you can eat it for supper. You know, it becomes a meal because of the protein of the eggs, and you can put cheese in it too if you want.
That is a great, great idea. Green eggs and no ham.
Green eggs, no ham. You don't need the ham.
That's exactly right. Hey, Melissa, so good to talk to you.
So great to talk to you, Sally.
Melissa Clark's new book is Favorite Recipes from Melissa Clark's Kitchen. Family meals, festive gatherings, and everything in between. You probably know Melissa as a contributor to our show, and she's a staff writer for the New York Times, where she writes the popular column, A Good Appetite. And if you're jonesing to start cooking any of the spring dishes Melissa talked about, they're all from her new book, and you'll find the recipes on our website, splendidtable.org. And Melissa left us with a bonus recipe for bulgur pilaf with Swiss chard and dried apricots. And that brings us back to our friends at Bob's Red Mill, because they make a great bulgur. I love bulgur. Bulgur is a whole grain that's super quick cooking. You basically just have to soak it in hot water. And you use it wherever you use couscous or even rice. It's great warm or room temperature, and really great in salads, like a traditional Middle Eastern tabbouleh salad. You can find a whole lot more about Bob's Red Mill's red and golden bulgur and all their other products and the recipes at bobsredmill.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.